Today on Real Radio.
You might be saying, that's great for them. You know, God bless them as they go to England. God bless them as they go to Russia or Africa or who knows wherever. But I'm not that way. I'm not a missionary. You are a missionary.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. As we've seen so far, this amazing addition to the New Testament provides valuable insight into what the conduct and attitude of the believer should be. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs taking us through Ephesians 6 and verses 5 through 9. It's a presentation called Ethics and the Will of God.
And you may be thinking, you know, this is just a job because I'm going to go from this job to the next job. Well, you know what? Think about this, that while you're at that job, will you do that job so well that when you leave, that boss or that company is going to say, man, I wish that guy was back here again, or I wish that woman was still here. When we go from job to job, will they miss us? That's what we want to do. And will they miss our example for Christ? That's what we want to do. We don't want to be Sunday Christians and blow off what he's asking us to do the rest of the week. This is truly being an evangelist. In Colossians 3:22, the Bible says, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartedly, as to the Lord, and not unto men." No way. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? That's who you serve. The third thing is this. What's important regarding authority? That we serve a dedicated job or effort or ministry because we do it to Christ. That we are dedicated. 1 Corinthians 10:31. The word dedicated. Therefore, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do it all to the glory of God. That should drive us on big time. Whatever we do, we need to be dedicated to Christ in these areas, not being a clock watcher. Oh man, you know what? It's like 12 more minutes and he'll be done. I mean, not me, because I don't watch that clock. I'm just making this up. Oh, I'll be off and, oh, I can't wait. I hate this job. 20 more minutes and I'll be out of here. Oh, man, you know what? Be dedicated. Be dedicated to the job. Why? Because you're dedicated to Christ. Don't be a clock watcher. Oh, you know, don't do that. Ask God, change my heart, Lord. I don't want to be a clock watcher. And come on, you're beating yourself anyway. You're just beating yourself up. Have you noticed every time you look at the clock, it seems like it didn't even move? You're over there tapping it. Hey, is this thing broke? Is this thing broke? Somebody put a new battery in this thing. It's not going fast enough. You're just going to wear yourself out. Jesus says, look, I've given you the job. I want you to be obedient to the job. In doing so, you're going to be obedient to me. And do the best you can because you're doing it unto me. Don't be a clock watcher. Warren Wiersbe uses that phrase, and I love it. He says, these are they who watch the clock. And while they're watching it, they gripe about how much they hate their job. And it's almost like there's a judgment that God places on them that the clock barely seems to move. Look at verses 6 and 7. not with eye service, as men pleasers. This is hilarious. But as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. It's like this. Not with eye service. You're folding papers, flying airplanes around the room. You know. Hey, the boss is coming. Oh, man. You know, doing all your thing, and the boss comes walking in. And it's like, how you doing, boss? Things are great. He walks out and, oh. I don't know what it is. Have you noticed with bosses, too? It's so strange. You can work your tail off all day long. You can skip morning break. You can skip lunch. I don't know what it is. It's like, I don't know what it is. I've analyzed this at night because it happens. Just when I so deserve, my feet are killing me. I've been going 8 hours without a break. I didn't even go to the bathroom today. And you put your feet up and you're wiping your head, and who walks in the door? How do they know that? Your boss walks in. What are you doing? Sitting on the job. Hey, I've been, oh, be quiet. Get up and go to work. It's like weird. It's like they have a little beeper that goes off. His feet are up. His feet are up. It's so strange. Not with eye service. Oh, yes, boss. Oh, you're the best. We'll get right on it. And the door shuts and you just go, eh. Eye service. Hypocrisy. Being something in front of him or her, the boss. And once they leave, something else. And so he says, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. See, if it's from the heart, you're not going to be doing this stuff. You're going to earn your keep, so to speak, at your job. Verse 7 says, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Don't be men pleasers or lazy labor. Don't be like that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, we're almost done. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Isn't that great? As free, yet not using our liberty. As a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king or the president. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good masters, but to the harsh masters as well, for this is commendable. If because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Well, Jack, all this is great, and you know I'd like to apply all this, but I've got a boss from hell. You know what? Maybe you do have a boss from hell, and maybe God has placed you in that company to live a Christian life in front of him or her, so she doesn't or he doesn't wind up in hell. I know that this body is very active in foreign missions, and we're very active. I mean, tomorrow night there'll be a lot of people on the streets. Every Thursday night and Tuesdays, sharing the gospel. And you might be saying, that's great for them. You know, God bless them as they go to England. God bless them as they go to Russia or Africa or who knows wherever. But I'm not that way. I'm not a missionary. You are a missionary. You're a missionary at your job. You're a missionary in your neighborhood. I like when you, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but for years it's been up there. When you walk out of the doors of the building, there's a little thing over the door. You know what it says? Anybody? Have you ever noticed it? I don't think anybody's noticed it. It says, through these doors you enter the mission field. When you walk out of the building, it says, through these doors you enter the mission field. It's so true. And if you're a Christian tonight, you are preaching a message. Well, Jack, I want to preach a better message. That's why this whole thing begins in Ephesians 5:18 and ends in verse 9, being filled with the Spirit. We can't do it on our own. We can't do anything on our own. We can't be a godly witness. We can't save ourselves. We can't walk for Christ without being filled with the Spirit. It's impossible. In fact, those who try are religious. And that's no fun. Nothing happens. The final thing, the fourth, important thing to remember about how to submit to authority, verse 8, is with satisfaction in the Lord. Verse 8 says, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or a free man. And it's this, satisfaction. Verse 8 stands for satisfaction. Real quickly, and then we'll actually do verse 9, which will be our second point, and take a moment, because he just recaps what we've just went through. Verse 8 is saying this, that we will be a witness by showing the people the fact that we are satisfied. Now watch this. You ever see people that are on the side of the road and says, we'll work for food? Have you ever offered, I'm not saying all of them, but most of them, you offer them food and they'll say, I want cash. Excuse me, but you're on the side of the freeway begging. And your sign says, I work for food. I'm giving you food. Well, can you give me the cash instead? No, I'm not going to give you the cash instead. Change your sign. Cash, please. If the head of sign says, I'm hungry, then it's pretty clear. But when they like cryptic about it or a little, you know, I think not honest about it, I don't appreciate that. And like you, I've talked with people out in front of the stores, you know, hey, can you spare a dime? Well, what's the deal? I'm looking for a job, man. Taco Bell's hiring. I'm not going to work for minimum wage. Have you heard that? I'm not going to work for minimum wage, but you're begging out here. I'm sure he's making much more money than minimum wage begging. And when I detect that, there's pride in this thing. There's pride here. This is a scam. Whenever you see somebody truly in need, they're humble and they're not calling the shots. They'll take a half-eaten banana. I've seen it happen. They're humble. They're not calling the shots. They're not satisfied. They're calling the shots. And there are people in companies. They're not satisfied. Their witness stinks because the boss will say, well, you get a 2% raise this year. 2%? Oh, man, why don't you just keep it? What kind of a message is this that we're sending? John the Baptist said in Luke's gospel, he says, concerning the centurions, John the Baptist told them when they said, what do we need to do? And he said, be content with your pay. Be content with your pay. So we get a raise. Next raise that we get, we should say, thank you, this is great. Thanks. You know, your company, your managers or your bosses, they're expecting a fight. You know that? Everybody gripes about it. You know when somebody's heart, especially a Christian's not right, well, how much do you get paid at your job? I only get this much an hour. It's better than being unemployed. Be careful. God's given you the job. Be satisfied. When they give you that pay or when you get that check on that day, all right, praise God. I got to tell you, I knew somebody at this company that you would think when this person got a raise, first of all, he never told anybody what percentage he got, but he was a low man on the totem pole. And this guy came out of the office going, all right, praise the Lord, man. And everyone, you should have seen everybody. What? What? What is it? I'm not kidding. What? I got a raise. And you should have seen them. And they got all flustered. It was hilarious because everybody walks out of there going, oh, man, I can't believe it. And this guy came walking out, praise the Lord. What happened? I got a raise, man. And they're thinking, he must have got $500,000 raise. After all, he said, praise the Lord. It must be something heavy, babe, you know. Isn't it funny? Be satisfied. And the funny thing was, this guy was 6 months into his job, and when he got hired, This really set things to a problem. 6 months, he was working for the company 6 months, and they called him in the office, and they said, "We've made a horrible mistake." "What happened?" "We hired you at a certain position, and in personnel, they looked at the chart, and you were supposed to be paid this much." And he's going, "Okay." So now this guy's thinking, "So, you know, I'm making $5 an hour, so what am I supposed to be making, two? Lord, help me to keep my heart right in the same place and to submit to these people as unto you." You know, all this stuff going on in the head. And, please, we hope that you would understand that we've done this all in good faith. It was a very terrible mistake, but we're supposed to be paying you about $3 more per hour for the last 6 months. And we're hoping that you don't, you know, take any action in any way against us." And they hand this envelope, and this is an envelope for a lot of money. So what did he do? The door opened up. "Praise the Lord, God is so good." And everybody's going. The company was so blessed to have this guy. And this guy was so blessed to have a job. And God blessed, and it drove all the people who were all concerned about their pay, it drove them mad. This person had the right attitude. And he was a witness. Which leads to verse 9, and we'll be done. We're going to end on time tonight. Something must be wrong. Did I miss a point? Verse 9, "And you masters," watch this, it's very simple. "You masters," those of you who are employers or bosses, "do the same things." Everything we just talked about, do the same thing. Why? Look at this. Do the same thing. Give up threatening. "If you don't do this, I'm going to fire you. Your head will spin." Oh, get a grip. You have a position of authority. Act like it. Don't talk like that. That's stupid. People respect you, so be worthy of the position. Don't threaten people. It just shows immaturity. It's not right. If you're going to fire them, but don't threaten them. You know, just be godly about it. "Knowing that your master," look, it's the single, it's singular, it's not masters. Hey, all of you who raised your hands, bosses, in the beginning, you know who you work for? Boss with a capital B. Jesus, the boss. If you have authority, you have to answer to God. That causes you to be humble. Right now, God's my boss. That's heavy. Do the things that Paul's been telling you and the others now. He says, do the same thing. Don't do it. Don't conduct yourself with threatenings, knowing that your own master is in heaven. And there's no partiality with him. And there's almost a tweak of sarcasm with Paul's statement. You've got your production people down here at minimum wage, then you've got your, you know, your associate guys, then you've got your assistants, then you've got your managers, and then you've got your, you know, and you've got these ranks, and you have a tendency, like all human nature, which is wrong, to look at people. This guy gets paid this much, or this woman gets paid that much, they have this position, they have this place, and I talk to them in such a way, and then there's these people down here. And God is saying, those of you who are bosses, watch it. God will not look at you and see you as the VIP. "But God, I had a parking space in front of the building with my name on it." "Well, I don't see your name here anywhere." No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. No, we need to be godly bosses and godly employees. And people will come to Christ. They really will. I had a wonderful boss. And I loved him and I love him. And he works down in San Diego now. And I remember in our interview back in 1980, I think it was, something like that. when I was being interviewed for a certain position, the position was way over my head. I don't even know how I wound up in that building. And it became evident to me after like 3.5 hours of interview, I realized, you know what, everything he's asked me, I don't know. And it dawned on me, the reason why I'm here right now is obviously this guy needs to hear about the gospel. So I just prayed while he was talking, Lord, open the door and I'll share. And so nearing the end, he goes, you know, I never asked you what you do for your hobby, for your free time. It's important. I'd like to know. I said, my free time. I said, I study the Bible about every minute I can get my hands on it. He goes, yeah, I'm talking free time. When you're not, you know. I said, I'm telling you. In fact, let me tell you something. I said, listen, you're talking to the wrong guy for this job. The reason why I'm here is because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you all. And I shared the gospel with him. And the guy got tears in his eyes and he said, you know, I used to be a Christian, I think. I'm not even sure. But, well, he wound up telling me, I can't come to Christ because I've been too big of a sinner. And I said, well, you know, that's a lie. Jesus is greater than any sin that we can commit. And I said, look, I told him, he's the interviewer. I said, it's been a pleasure meeting you. Thank you for your time. I got up and I left. And I got a phone call a few hours later at my other job where I was working. In the personnel department says, Mr. Mallinckrodt would like you to take the position. And I was like, excuse me. You know what I did? I thought, this is from the enemy or something. And I said, can you tell Mr. Mallinckrodt that I'm going to pray about it for 24 hours and I'll call him back at this hour tomorrow? I'm not kidding. I am totally telling you the gospel truth on this. She goes, what do you want me to say to him? And I said it again. And then I hung up the phone and I thought, what? Oh, God, did I do? I should have just jumped on that thing, you know. And we prayed. And I called back to the minute, man. And I called back the next day. I called back and I said, if the position is still available, the answer is yes. And she said, okay, show up Monday with a tie on, you know. And I thought, wow. And you know what? I shared the Lord with that guy for almost 12 years. He never accepted Jesus. We were very, very good friends. Very good friends. And he quit and moved away to San Diego to take on another company. And it was a couple years ago, he called, and he said, you won't believe what happened to me. He said, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, and you're the reason why. And I'm on the phone, God, it's wonderful, Lord. I was freaking out, and then the following Sunday, he came here to this church, and he sat with you. And I'm like, oh, Lord. I'm getting goosebumps right now.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Ephesians 6 and verses 5 through 9. It's a presentation called Ethics and the Will of God. Now, as you may know, we just concluded the Southern California Prophecy Conference for this year at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and whether or not you were able to make it, you'll be glad to know that we've made the materials available. Visit us at realradioactive.org and learn how to get them. realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.